Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Monday afternoon. I'm Scoot. Very glad you are with us. I had a great weekend. Very, very busy, busy weekend. And part of my weekend was taken up Friday night when I was sitting on the sofa in my apartment downtown and I heard gunshots. 5 to 7 gunshots. Loud. And I'm on, you know, I'm not on the ground floor, but I still heard these. This is a path that I take nearly every day. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, in conjunction with that, New Orleans has made a list of the 25 most dangerous cities in America. We're number 19. St. Louis is number one. But I can't help but think that, you know, yeah, New Orleans is a dangerous city. I don't let it stop me. I went out and did live Facebook video from the crime scene, and there was a dead body in the street. Apparently, it was drug-related, but really scary that it happened a block away from my house, and I heard the gunshots. I mean, occasionally I hear gunshots downtown, but it's not very often. I really feel for those of you who live in neighborhoods where you hear gunshots all the time. In fact, there are families with contingency plans when they hear gunshots. Like the kids have to get away from the windows, get away from the doors. I mean, that's just really tragic because it happens in those neighborhoods all the time. Fortunately, it doesn't happen in my neighborhood very often, but it still happens. And while I'm not concerned because I'm not in the drug business and I'm not involved in that, this was apparently a drug-related killing. I could get caught in the crossfire because, you know, some of these people are not really good shots. It's, you know, it's not like they went to target practice, and sometimes they hit their victim and sometimes they hit innocent people. So has anything changed your behavior because of crime in New Orleans? Have you changed any of your behavior because of crime in New Orleans? We'll talk about that. In somewhat of a related matter, there was a brawl in the game over the weekend between the Lakers and the Houston Rockets. I mean, fists were flying. Last week, we talked about the Patriots fan who threw a beer in the face of Chiefs wide receiver Tariq Hill. Why so much aggression? Think about it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, Republican Mitch McConnell was harassed at a restaurant while dining. He was harassed by liberals that didn't like him, don't like his politics. He was harassed during dinner. And this is just really a recent case. You know, we've talked about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, where she was not allowed to eat at a restaurant. She was told to leave, her and her family, the Red Hen restaurant in a suburb of D.C. There was Kirstjen Nielsen, the head of Department of Homeland Security, who was heckled at a restaurant, harassed at a restaurant. Ted Cruz and his wife harassed at a restaurant. This happens. It shouldn't happen. It's wrong. In my opinion, I mean, some people think it's fair. But for those who say, well, it's just the left. I mean, why don't Republicans do this? Why don't conservatives do this? I mean, see, we're the civil ones. Well, Nancy Pelosi was attacked verbally in a restaurant by apparently a group associated with the Proud Boys. This is a right-wing hate group that targets liberals. So let's just get over it. It's on both sides. And then I've also got a story of a woman who was cursing out a family from Central America at a restaurant in a Virginia suburb. So near D.C., she's cursing out a family because they were speaking Spanish in the restaurant. What if it had been this really nice, attractive French couple that were speaking French? You think this white woman would have said anything to them? No, she wouldn't have. I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have said anything. So there is this ridiculous prejudice. You know, these could have been American citizens that just happened to know a language that you don't know. Because a lot of people who come here from other countries speak more than one language. Should places like restaurants, though, should places like restaurants be harassment-free zones for politicians? We'll get into that. First up on the show this afternoon, the Saints win a close game against the Ravens last night. What excited you and what concerns you about the 24-23 victory? Next week, the Saints are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Then they're back here in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against the Rams, a tough stretch coming up for the Saints. Look, I know it was a close win, and didn't we all think that that kicker, Justin Tucker, was going to make the extra point? Did you see his eyes? I tried to imitate him in the – I put a blog up. The daily Facebook video blog is up on our website right now. That conversation's going on, so you can join that conversation right now live on Facebook during our show. And we'll read some of the comments from that a little bit later, but I tried to imitate that guy's eyes. 222 in a row. Never missed an extra point. And boom. Man, he could not have missed a better extra point as far as Saints fans are concerned. The game would have gone into overtime. Maybe we would have won. Maybe we wouldn't have won. I'd like to think we have won because the Saints, this has been a pattern with the Saints. When they're having a good year, they really know how to come back and win games. And there were some sketchy moments in that game, but overall, the offense and defense did a good job. I mean, there were some missed tackles and there were some, missed blocks. And I mean, that happens in every game. But I guess it really doesn't matter because the Saints won the game 24-23. I'm sorry the Panthers came back and won, and, you got to give them credit, man. They are a strong, strong team. And tonight it's the Giants against the Falcons in Atlanta on Monday Night Football. Let's hope the Giants play better than they have been playing and the Falcons play the way they have been playing, because that would mean the Falcons would lose. But also, LSU beat Mississippi State Saturday night 19-3. LSU was moved up to number 4 in the country. A bye week this week at a showdown against Alabama in 2 weeks. But there is controversy. During the second half, star linebacker for the LSU Tigers, Devin White, hit Mississippi State's quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald. It was called a targeted hit. Very, very debatable. I didn't think it was, but that was the judgment of the officials. He was ejected from the game, and since he was ejected from the game in the second half, he is suspended from the first half of the game against Alabama. One of, if not LSU's best defensive player, suspended for the first half of the game against Alabama in 2 weeks. Do you think the officials made that bogus call against an LSU player to give Alabama an advantage in the game against LSU? Even if it's a subconscious thing, do you think this happens? Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, he got involved. He tweeted, "Someone is going to have to explain the definition of targeting to me. From what I know, that wasn't it." So what's your reaction to the Saints win? What's your reaction to LSU's win? LSU moving up to number 4 in the poll. So right now, they are locked into the playoff scene in college football. And Ohio State lost over the weekend, so they drop down. LSU moves up. Got a bye week this week. So I guess LSU's not going to really go anywhere. And what do you think of this controversy? What do you think about this call against the linebacker, Devin White of the Tigers, and that hit against Mississippi State's quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald? It just didn't seem like much of a hit. If you want to join us with your comment, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. And our text number is 870-870. And here's our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Do you think the officials made a bogus call to give Alabama an advantage in the game against LSU? Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Saints won again, 5-1. And from, man, a really slow start. They lost one. Then they won. Well, they didn't really win the second game. They really won the second game, but it was really like the Cleveland Browns lost the game. So the first two games of the season, Saints did not look good, but they're looking good right now. And more milestones for Drew Brees. Can't wait to talk about this. It's Monday afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back with your comments on WWL. All right, I thought we would dedicate this song to the kicker for the Ravens, Justin Tucker. dude. This is for you. All right, but you know, I can't help but feel for this guy. I mean, I'm so glad he missed it. But I'm a human being. And I've been in situations like that before when it was all dependent upon me. And I blew it. And I'm sure you've been in situations where you blew it and the focus was on you. So I understand how the guy feels. That's just part of the job. And this is part of why these guys get paid a lot of money to do what they do. That's part of it. When the attention is all on you, whether it's in show business or professional athletics, there is a consequence to that. And the consequence is there are going to be times when you are going to be very, very harshly scrutinized. So I feel badly for the guy, but I'm so glad he missed it. All right, if you want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about, we're opening up talking about the Saints win. It was close. LSU wins, moves up to number 4. Very questionable, controversial call against a star defensive player for LSU. Means he's suspended for the first half of the game against Alabama in 2 weeks. And also, my God, the Pelicans. Last week, the Pelicans played their first game on the road in Houston, beat the Rockets. And they play their second game Friday night in the Smoothie King Center and beat the Sacramento Kings. Wow. This is a great time for us, isn't it? Here's a text that says, Ravens kicker is definitely on suicide watch. Now, you know, and I'm so tempted to tell that joke. I had to tell a joke years ago about Russell Erksleben. I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. It's just a joke, okay? And I know they're just waiting to criticize. I mean, they're just waiting. They're waiting to criticize. This joke actually made it around the country in radio when other place kickers have missed kicks. But this is just a joke. I heard last night that Justin Tucker did try to commit suicide, but the bullet went wide to the right. Okay, it was just a joke. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, text 870-870. I'm not making fun of suicide. From Diamond Head, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'd like to make a comment about, I called in earlier in the year when the Saints lost their first game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, you know, having a panic attack or whatever, upset over it. And I said that it could benefit them in the long run. You get that one loss out of the way early. And down the road, they'll make their adjustments with their offense and their defense. And sure enough, they did. And look, we're 5-1. And I really think we got a strong chance of making it to a Super Bowl this year.
Well, I do too, David. And I was concerned after the loss against Tampa Bay. And I was really concerned when the Saints actually beat the Cleveland Browns in Game 2. But it was really more like the Cleveland Browns lost the game than the Saints actually won the game. And I was concerned about that slow start. I've heard talk that maybe Sean Payton runs a really tough training camp. And so the Saints don't come out at the beginning of the season strong. They come out kind of weak and beaten up a little bit from training camp. I don't know whether that's true or not because I'm not there, but it's something that I did hear. But the Saints, they're rolling, and some of these wins are not really beautiful, but my God, they're winning, so it's okay.
That's right. I agree with you. It's not pretty. I mean, I told my wife yesterday when they tied it up, you know, I said, how could they let them march right down? And
they did, too. They did. It was, you know, you almost get that sense, and this is something that happens sometimes, you feel with the Saints, is that they, if it's subconscious, it's emotion, it's all mental, they let down. They go, man, we got this. You let down for just a little bit against a decent team, and they're gonna find a way to pick you apart, and the Ravens did yesterday.
That's right. I mean, you know, thank goodness he missed that kick. I mean, I thought it was actually good until I seen the referees, you know, hold their hand, you know, shaking their hands. No, he missed it. I thought, wow.
Well, I know we were all sitting there expecting overtime, and then boom. He missed it because, I mean, the guy, all the stats were being regurgitated, right? For 222 in a row, and he's never missed an extra point. And boom, he misses that extra point. What a great extra point to miss.
Right, Made my day.
All right, David, I'm glad you called the show. And from Ponchatoula, James, welcome to WWL.
Hi, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think James Carville's right about the Alabama thing. Somebody in Alabama's got deep pockets.
Well, and I really don't know how that would work. You know, maybe it's a subconscious thing. Maybe somebody's being paid. But James Carville, the Democratic political strategist, who a lot of LSU fans really don't like and don't agree with, he's a huge LSU fan. We've got the story on our website at WWL.com. He says there's collusion between the SEC and Alabama in the game against LSU.
Yeah, well, they never did show the call, but from one direction, from behind Devin White. They never showed it from the side. If they would, you'd have been able to see that he pushed him with his hand.
Yeah, it did not look, I'm going to have to leave it there because I've got news coming up. It did not look like a targeting hit to me. And this is a problem in the NFL as well. You know, this is something that the officiating in college and in pro football, they need to work on this. Because everybody's afraid to even touch the quarterback, and that's not fair. Roughing up a quarterback, that's one thing. I'm Scoot. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more of your comments. Hey, man, we're going to play this song for Saints fans, LSU fans, Pelicans fans as well. A lot of reason to celebrate on this Monday afternoon. I'm Scoot. Hope you had a great weekend. Also, I went to Crew of Boo Saturday night, and we did a lot of live Facebook from Crew of Boo, which was really interesting. They had some very interesting marching bands. One of them, I just let the banner go by, and I didn't even say the name of the marching group because I thought it was inappropriate for WWL Radio Facebook page. But it's there. It's also on the SOTA Scoot on the Air Facebook page. All right, so I'm getting a report from one source that says LSU is going to fight the suspension of Devin White. But there may be some confusion because Democratic political analyst James Carville says that there is collusion between the SEC and Alabama when it comes to the game against LSU. And here's our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Do you think the officials made a bogus call to give Alabama an advantage in the game against LSU? 60% say yes, 40% say no. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. And from Mid-City, Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, listen, I called about LSU because I was at the game on Saturday night. But first, I want to say something about the Saints and the kid. Back in the Jim Haslett era, we were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a lot of people remember the play. It was that play where we lateraled the ball all over the field with just a few seconds left and scored a touchdown in order to tie the game up. All we had to do was make the extra point, and I forget the name of the kicker, but he missed the extra point, and the Saints lost. So this has happened to the Saints before.
Oh, yeah. It happens. I felt so badly for the guy, but I tell you, what a great extra point for him to miss again. Not that the Saints might not have gone on and won in overtime, but, you know, I mean, just think about the people who were out in bars and the people who were just, you know, watching in large groups right. And thinking, oh, we're going to overtime, and they're like, wait a minute, what? And then you saw the guy's eyes?
Yeah, it was that was really freaky. But listen, going back to LSU,
yeah.
Okay, I was at the game, so all I got to see was the video replay. Of course, I've seen it 100 times since then. I challenge you to do this. Go online and look at the hit the Alabama linebacker, I think his name is Mack Wilson, put on the Tennessee quarterback and not broke the guy's collarbone. Watch the two hits. Either side by side or one right after the other. And I promise you, you're going to walk away and say the Alabama hit was 10 times more vicious than what Devin White put on their quarterback. And there was no call whatsoever. No roughing, no nothing. Okay? So I'm with James Carville 100% on this. It's every year. I'm sick of it. And look, here's the deal. I hate Alabama fans, but I've been on the internet with Alabama fans ever since this happened. And 90% of them agree that the call was bogus. Now, when you get 90% of Alabama fans standing up and saying, you know what, that was a bad call, then I'm going to tell you something. It was absolutely a bad call. The SEC needs to do the right thing and reverse this. They won't do it because, like Carville says, this is strictly if they promote Alabama, they promote the University of Alabama, and they really don't want anybody else to get a slice of the pie. So, I mean, it's just the way it is.
Danny, I appreciate the call. So I guess the question comes down to this, and, you know, we don't know for sure, but it's something we can talk about. I mean, I love having this conversation on a Monday afternoon. I mean, it's inspiring, and we're not, you know, we're not just bogged down in all the political hate. You know, we'll get to that a little bit later. So let's enjoy this right now. So does Alabama get preferential treatment just because, well, it's Alabama? And there's this sense that, you know, I mean, Alabama has been great for a long time, and Nick Saban's done a great job with Alabama. Nobody can take any of that away. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. They're just dominant every year and have been for a while. But, I mean, could somebody be giving somebody money? Or is this just an emotional bond that so many people in the SEC have with LSU? By the way, I'm getting some text here, and the kicker that missed that kick for the Saints was kicker John or James? Carney. His last name was Carney. John Carney. Might have been John. Anyway, his last name was Carney. John Carney. Okay, so that was the kicker who missed that. So, yeah, I mean, this has happened to the Saints in reverse. So glad that guy, Justin Tucker, missed that kick. But I feel badly for him in the same way that, you know, we feel badly for, you know, Saints players who have been in the spotlight and have missed something where, you know, the outcome of the game. Think about the Minnesota Vikings, a playoff game last year. You know, the Saints have a chance to win the game and a missed tackle, and they score, and the Vikings win the game. So, you know, we know how the Ravens feel right now. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us with your comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text number is 870-870. Here's a text that says, Bama is bought and paid for. Another text says, the Alabama hit was legal. It sure looked legal to me. All right. I'm Scoot, and we're coming right back on WWL. Song by Sly Fox from the 80s. Yeah, I mean, this was one of those songs that had sexual implications. Let's go all the way. But I'm dedicating that to the Saints. Let's go all the way. I mean, hey, come on, it could happen. And I know some of these wins are not pretty, but it doesn't matter. They are wins. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Do you think the officials made a bogus call to give Alabama an advantage in the game against LSU? 68% say yes, and 32% say no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. From Homa, Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was just calling. I got a quick story that my brother told me after the game. He's over there in Panama City Beach after the hurricane, and he was sitting in a bar watching the game, and he was the only Saints fan in there, and his dude was sitting next to him, and it was when Taysom Hill made his last run for the first down and trying to turn the corner over there, and there's like three guys on him, and he turns the corner anyway, and he gets the first down. And the dude sitting next to him goes, who the hell was that? And my brother goes, oh, that's a third-string quarterback. The guy goes, what? He says, what's the matter? Don't your team have a third-string quarterback?
You know, it's really interesting, Pat, and I said this, I guess it was last week. I think the success of Taysom Hill and the brilliance of Sean Payton to find him and place him in the lineup the way he's placed him in the lineup and the way he's using him from kick returns to a third string quarterback to a running back to, you know, I think every team in the NFL is going to start looking for a player like this to have on their team in the same way that it was, you know, the Russell Wilsons that started to redefine what it meant to be a prototypical quarterback in the NFL. I think Taysom Hill, I think this guy is so strong and so good at what he does and so effective that I think other teams are going to look for this kind of player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely redefined what it means to be a third-string quarterback.
That's true.
I mean, that's no – the guy's a monster.
Yeah.
There's just no way. But I think Sheldon Rankin said Taysom's a serious man. You got to tackle that guy.
Well, you know, he does certainly have a lot of determination as well as strength. Pat, I'm glad you called the show. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, some y'all LSU fans are very sad. Do you really think someone is paying the refs to throw out guys? It's ridiculous. Just seems to me very, very scared. Roll Tide. This has not just happened to LSU. This has happened in the NFL as well. And the desire to protect the quarterbacks, like many aspects of political correctness, has gone out of control. And so something needs to be done. They need to have a better definition, or they need to have permission to let somebody push a quarterback or touch a quarterback. When I saw that hit on the Mississippi State quarterback, it just didn't look like a targeting hit to me. But, you know, those things are subjective, and it was up to the officials to call it the way they did. And the question is, do they call it that way because maybe deep down subconsciously, maybe there's no money involved, but maybe there's this prejudice toward Alabama. Okay, so you heard the song Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox. There is a version of that, a cover of that, called Saints Go All the Way by Fred and Lauren. And, you know, I thought we would share this with you. I mean, I guess in some ways it's kind of bad, but it's kind of funny. All right, so we're going to go to break with this. Saints Go All the Way by Fred and Lauren, cover of Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox. If you're on hold, hang on. Code Word is coming up in just a few minutes. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back. See, they're saying Saints. Saints. Yeah, we're coming back on WWL. Well, I mean, let's hope that's the case. In fact, that song can apply to either the Saints or LSU after this past weekend. All right, less than a minute away from the code word of the day, you're going to have a chance to win $1,000 in our Intercom National Cash Contest. We're talking about the Saints' victory because a kicker missed the extra point, so it didn't go into overtime. I mean, the Saints may have gone on to win anyway. But the Saints beat the Ravens 24-23. Drew Brees hit a new mark, his 500th and 501st touchdown passes, and he beat the Ravens for the first time in his career. Also, we're talking about LSU beating Mississippi State, moving up to number 4 in the country, and this controversial call against LSU's linebacker Devin White, who is now, at this point, suspended for the first half of the game against Alabama. All right, time for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest, and the code word is brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. The need for cash ever come up, kind of an emergency? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more information. The code word this hour is PLATE. Text PLATE to 72881. Text PLATE to 72881 now, and you could win $1,000. Next code word coming up right before the top of the hour news at 3 o'clock. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. Please never text and drive. And when we come back, we will have some highlights from the Saints game yesterday. We're going to play that part back where the Baltimore kicker misses the field goal. I don't think we can play that enough, but we're going to play it again coming up in a few minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.